When the mother of Rabbi Shneur Zalman was expecting, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh told her husband, Reb Baruch, that when their child is born, ultimately when Rabbi Shneur Zalman is to be born, don't tell him anything about me. Like, don't make a fuss. Like, just don't tell him about it. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. That was the big eitzah that he gave to I don't know what their last name was, to the Avliadis, whatever. He said, this is whatever you do, don't be megala anything. Don't reveal anything about me to your son. And they took the advice of the Baal Shem Tov, which was kind of strange, since so much of what the narrative of the Baal Shem Tov and the goal of the Baal Shem Tov was, and is hafatza. I mean, don't keep it a secret. Spread it in the entire world. You know, she'afutza ma'ayin asach achutza. Meaning to bring Mashiach, to fix the world, tikkun olam, etc. The world reaching its potential and its perfection comes through the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov told the Baal Tanya's parents, don't say anything about it. Don't reveal me and what I'm doing here in the world to your son. And Kach Hava, he was born. We know that the Baal Tanya, that the Alter Rebbe was a young man when he left to go find his place in the world, to go find himself. And when he left home, he wasn't sure exactly where he was going. He had two paths in front of him. One was to go to learn in Vilna by the Grof. The other was to go to Mizrich to learn by the Maggid. He wasn't sure which way to go. Famously, he said to himself, to go to the Grof and learn Torah, I know a little bit how to learn Torah, but I really don't know how to daven. He went to Mizrich to be able to learn from the Maggid. It was to draw close to Hashem, beyond the intellect. But it's clear he didn't. He wasn't exposed to the Derech of the Baal Shem Tov. He wasn't connected to the Baal Shem Tov in any revealed way. It's a pella. What was the Baal Shem Tov thinking? It's hard to know what the kavanos of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh were. We just learned, you know, a little bit of Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, you know, like, forget it. You know, like, the Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, like, you know that you can't understand anything going on there. As kavanos were. But here it's totally counterintuitive. The risk factor involved. Who knows? Like, what would have happened if he would have made a left turn and gone to Vilna? What would the world look like? We certainly wouldn't be sitting here tonight. The first thing that I learned from that ma'isa, that I drew from that ma'isa, that dilemma is just, number one, what it means to live with the Baal Shem Tov, even if you're not using the word, the term the Baal Shem Tov says, or I learned from the Baal Shem Tov, or here's a story about the Baal Shem Tov. To live with the Baal Shem Tov means, to live with the light of the tzaddik means to live with total confidence and fearlessness. He said there's a divine plan. There's a process that's unfolding. The world is changing. We're being masak in olam. And don't worry, you don't have to hit him between the eyes with me. He'll get there. And the second step of that is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe called avoda b'koach atzmo. Is that what good is a gilui of the Baal Shem Tov? What good is the Derech of Baal Shem Tov, is this salvation, is this light, if it comes top down without any effort? If it's not avodah b'koach atzmo. Ad kedei kach, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was willing to risk, so to speak, willing to gamble with the future of the movement and the Baal HaTanya and all the gates that Rav Mo described opening up and disseminating Torah into the world. Because what good is it if he wouldn't do it on his own? And it's told that in Mizrich in those days, when the Baal Tanya got there, I mean, what was happening in that Chevra? The Mendel Vitebsker, the Kedushas Levi. That the Baal Tanya went around and told people what their area, what they should major in college, so to speak. Like, here's what you could do. He would give them ha'aros, he'd give them direction, he'd give them insights. Like a Rebbe. But when it came to the Baal Tanya, he would never tell him. He'd say, you'll figure it out. Avoda b'koach atzma. Tonight is, we're coming to the completion, the Avoda of the Yom, Yutes Kislev, the yard site of one of the great builders of Torah in our generation, and the generation which is really, the Rebbe called, the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption. One of the greatest builders of Torah in the reborn world of Torah and Avodah of Eretz Israel. It's the Yahrzeit of Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria. Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, a lot of people make him into like a Mickey Mouse character that is a certain, dressed a certain way, and a certain type of yarmulke, and a certain type of political affiliation. He was an Eved Hashem and a builder who was on fire for God, on fire for Klal Yisrael. His last words were, you know, Kedusha Nivakesh, I'm yearning for Kedusha, I want Kedusha. His whole life was an expression of Dveikus and yearning for Dveikus and a desire to build. And it's not an exaggeration to say that without his contribution to building up the yeshivas and the entire world of Bnei Akiva, of yeshivas Bnei Akiva, whatever it looks like today, it wouldn't even be that. Tens of thousands of Jews received the Torah education because of his efforts. And they asked him where he got his inspiration from and his koach from, where he continued, where he was able to work and build and fundraise and build and build and build. And he said, I go to Meiron and I attach myself to Reb Shem Bar Yochai, and I draw from that light. That's that campus. We're all on Lag BaOmer. That's where all the rebbes are fighting over those classrooms to be able to have, you know, something a little happening on Lag BaOmer. Anyways, there's a beautiful collection of letters that just came out in the last couple of years. That was put out by Rav Neria's daughter. Meseter HaMegira. It's from hidden inside the drawer. After Rav Neria and his wife left the world, so the kids went through the stuff and they found like letters that were written between their parents when they were involved in the courtship, before they were married, when they first met. They wrote letters to each other. And then the letters continued and they got engaged, and then, you know, throughout their life, still write letters to his wife. They'd write little notes to each other. And it's an absolutely beautiful collection. You know, the connection between ostensibly what these Fabrengans on Yutes Kislev ought to cultivate is a sense of our hiskashrus and our chibur, our connection to the tzaddikim, to the Magid, to the Alter Rebbe, as he describes in the introduction to Tanya. It was about creating a yichud, about creating the opportunity to be together by learning his Torah, by sitting like this together. Rabbi Isaac of Hamel said that, you know, if Shlomo HaMelech would have had a Rebbe, Shir HaShirim wouldn't have been a love song between a man and a woman, between husband and wife, between lovers. It would have been a love song between a chassid and a Rebbe. Shlomo HaMelech didn't really have a Rebbe. So he wrote it about woman, about his wife. But if tonight is a night of connecting to the tzaddikim and cultivating a sense of yichidus, trying to tap into a world of yichud, so why talk in the nimshal? Rav Neri was an expressive person. He wrote so many svarim of Rav Kook's Torah. And he was an amazing writer. He was an incredible, he had an incredible ability to take the highest ideas and express them very beautifully on paper. And when he wrote letters, they were epic. You know, actually, whatever, wrote letters. Ramo and I wrote letters last year to our daughters. They went on a journey to Tzadikim, to Uman, to Breslev, to Mezhbez, to Berdichev. Because I bless everyone to be able to be in, by all those places and to be by the Kibbutz Tzadikim. And God willing, children should have that desire also. One of our children have that desire also. We should write letters to them. And when they get different places, they'll when they're driving those long rides in the van, on the way from here to there, from Breslau, they should get a little note from us, a little something. I'm telling you, I sat down and wrote these letters like I was like I was on my deathbed. these are letters I'm going to find and say, oh, And then forget it, my other daughter went to Poland last year, and the school asks you, write letters that they should be able to read, we'll give them these letters, we'll hit them when they're really vulnerable, and they'll open these letters, and write them. I wrote those epic letters to my children this past year. I kind of got into it. So, keep your eyes open for the collected letters. Allah Matrufa 2.0. But Rav Neri was writing these epic letters to this girl. She was younger. It was Rachel. He really, really liked her. He really felt connected to her. He thought that this is it. He said, this is she's the one I'm going to marry, like that. And he wrote these very beautiful letters. And he'd write it with psukim and allusions. And you can imagine when you write a note and you want it to, like Shlomo says about Megillas Esther, you want it to be just right. Nice stationery and get the words down. Maybe you write a rough draft and then you write it again just to make sure you don't write anything stupid and whatever, because you really want to make sure that that the point comes across and she likes it. And he wrote these beautiful letters with midrashim and Torahs and And she wrote back to him. This is written literally 79 years ago during the final stages of their courtship. She writes about how moving it is to receive his sense of chovasa emesa pnimit, this need to just yearn for truth, this internal desire to be real, to be authentic, to be true. And she writes, about how beautiful his language is, and about the piskot, and about the roshem, the impact, the imprint that these letters are making on her, and how powerful of an order he is, and how wonderful his expressions are. And then she writes, please don't be hurt, but if we're really saying diburim shel emes to each other, if we're really speaking openly and honestly with one another, she says, lifamim, sometimes, ani chosheshet, I suspect sheyeshna ktzatz diplomatia mitzidcha. Sometimes I feel like there's a little diplomatia, a little diplomacy, meaning it's a little too calculated. You're being a little too careful and using the thesaurus a little too much. The concordancia is getting a little too much action here. And these letters, in other words, girls don't like it when you try too hard. I was saying this to the bachim, the husbands, I think they do like it when we try very hard. And she writes, "Amichtav ba banui kol kach yafeh," it's banui kol kach yafeh, it's structured so nicely. Meaning you built such a nice letter. You wrote it with so carefully. But at the same time, I just want, just give it to me real. Don't make such a show. Vimgam emes, pshutayoter. Just more pusher. Just don't give me all song and dance. I don't want you the way that you want me to perceive you. I want you. Lo b'shat sichot v'ne'umim. When you write to me, I don't want the presentation, like a speech from the podium at the UN. I want to experience you like in a real way. I want life. I want chaim mamish. Chaim pshutim. I want just like you kipshuto. Just tell me really how you're feeling, what's happening. B'sheket, la'at, b'yishav adas. Like just like take your time, write really what you're feeling with a little yishav adas. Stop trying to create this whole expression of yourself and gilu of yourself, which is not really you. In other words, I just want you, for cultivating something, if our goal is to see if we're really going to be able to reach the level of Shira Shirim, or are we going to make a commitment to each other and build a home together and live a life of Yichud together, then just talk to me straight. Then just like bring yourself. That's Avodah B'Koach Atzmo. I think what the Magid was holding back from the Baal Tanya and not giving him specific direction about what his tafkid was. And maybe we could say this with the Baal Tanya, with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, told Reb Baruch Hu and told his wife, don't let your son know anything about me. Not because you don't need me. Not because a person is on their own, you have to figure out on your own, like Rav Moshe said. Not because we're making something up new over here. Not because we're trying to create a new movement and a new way, and it's going to be my way according to my ideas and my theology and my philosophy, and the way what I perceive and what I feel and what I want. No. To be a chassid means to be a mevatel to a rebbe, means to attach ourselves to tzaddikim amitim. It means to, like Rav Moshe said, live beyond ourselves. But avoda b'koach atzmos, it doesn't mean, that's not a stira. Avoda b'koach atzmo means to live beyond ourselves as ourselves. Not to come to Fabrengen and make a whole fuss with a script and like say, oh, we have all these boxes we have to check in order for this to be an emes of Fabrengen. And not to come to Tefillah and say, well, I read in this book and in that book and that book and this word, and I saw this tzaddik daven like that, and I saw this person behave like that, and now I have to put all that together in order to really be chassidish, or in order to really be on all of Baal Avodah, I have to do it the way that I saw all those people do it. That's not Avodah B'Koach Atzmo. But to start our day, Moda'ani l'fanacha, Melech Chai v'Kayim, Shechazarta bi nishmasi b'cham l'rav emunasecha, Hashem, you believe in me, Hareini mekashios atzmi. To right away, thank you, Hashem, for giving me my life. Thank you for restoring my soul. You believe in me. Avoda b'koach atzmi. You believe in me. And I believe in the true tzaddikim. And like Rabbeinu writes in Sichas Aran, to put everything on the tzaddik. Me, my wife, my children, not knowing what I'm going to major in college, wanting Shana Bet, not liking learning, liking this girl, not liking this one. All of our struggles and all of our questions and all of our uncertainties and all of our accomplishments, all of our everything, to put it on the tzaddik. To bind ourselves to something higher. To lock in. And then do the work. Avodah b'koach atzmo. To be megal, to reveal, okay, what's my place in the world? What do I want? Where am I really at? Not to then act as if here's all the different moves that a Breslover would make in this situation. Here's what a Chabad screw would do in this situation. What would Rav Kook say about how I should think politically and ideologically and make the... Where am I? Where am I in the picture? What do I want? What do I feel? How could I be mevarer that feeling? Where am I going to get to that? It's not through learning Svarim. And it's not through listening to Shiurim. And it's not through going and sitting at Tish's and watching Rebbe's eat kugel. Although that's very beautiful. If that wakes you up, that's great. And it's not through going to Hizvados and spending money and going to... But you know, it's not by sitting here either. There's only one way. It's about creating a world of Yichud. Talking to Hashem in our own words. Not the way Shuli Rand does it in the movie, and not the way the Rav describes it in the book, and not the way you heard in the Shir how you're supposed to do it, but just to do it, to talk to Hashem. Every single day, in our own words. Yichud Kipshuto. Chaim Pshutim. Tetzarech liot amiti v'tivi mamish. Kimo babai, to be haimish with Hashem. That's what Rachel said to her. No, that's what she said to Rav Moshe Tzvineri. I need you to be haimish with me. I don't want you in formal wear, telling me some script about what your vision for the universe is. Just talk to me like you're a boy and I'm a girl. Talk to me haimish. Kimo babai. Like don't tell your baby, don't tell your son about me. That's what Baal Shem Tov said. I don't want him to be like the whole time fakfetched, like acting in a way with pozot that he has to be like, oh, tell me the Baal Shem Tov. And the Maggid saw the Baal Tanya, no, you have a lot to do in the world. You figure it out yourself. Avodah b'koach atzma. To be magala what atzma is. The only way to do that is by living a life of yichud and speaking with a sfas ha-yichud, naturally, normally, in our own language, with our friends. Talk to our friends like our friends. And for those who are in yeshiva, the language that's imposed upon you and the ideas that are given, the shtempel that's given, you don't have to buy that either. Like Rabbeinu said, Shulchan Aruch. Just keep Shulchan Aruch. Keep the Shulchan Aruch. There's halacha. There's the Ribono Shel Olam and there's the Koach HaTzadik. A very simple equation. You have to like learn the right moves and figure and watch people and see what they do in order that we should be able to do it. But to be megala b'koach atzma, I think that like Rav Mo was driving toward, was that now is the time, this generation, where we really have the opportunity to do that. Such a farbrengen didn't exist a generation ago. It didn't exist 20 years ago. There was a takanon, there was a menu, there's a specific list of details. Here's how it goes, here's what it has to be. And then there's... You know, and this is progress. A dear friend... Who's involved in Hafatza on a international level. He's head of communications in Chabad. Literally, you know, millions of people are checking the website and reading the materials that he's directly involved in spreading. And he said, it's not about the system. He's a Chabad. He's out of Sof, a Chabad square. He said to me, like, ultimately, the goal is not Chabad. Ultimately, the goal has to be connected to the message of the Rebbe. And I think what Rav Mo was telling us, and I feel deep in my bones, is that the Or HaTzadik, however it's refracted, is accessible in a way to all of us, in a way that it's never been accessible before. And all that's required of us is very simply, to Hareini Mekasheres Atma, hereby bind myself to that light. I belong to that light. Mekasher is atmi. I'm attaching myself to that light. And I'm counting on that light. That's wind in my sails. And that's what's illuminating my journey and my pathway. And I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I'm going with that light. Avodah b'koach atmo is building kelim for that light. And the way that we build those kelim is with his bodhidus, spoken to Hashem in our own words, doing the hard work, day in and day out, creating a world of yichud. With Hespodidus, and being ourselves, speaking in our own language, whether it's with our spouses, with our significant other, with our friends, with our Rebbeim, speaking in our own words as ourselves. And in that way, we'll be Megala that's really the Baal Shem Tov who began this process, and his dream, his vision of Sheafutza Ma'inasecha Achutza. Be internalized by all of us in our own way, with our own vessels, in our own hearts, in our own homes, in our own lives. And Bez Hashem will see the fulfillment of that incredible vision Shiyutes Kislev is all about, of being Masake in Olam, and seeing a world which is literally illuminated with the Or HaTzadikim. L'chaim, l'chaim.